Now, Terry, what's your report about this week?
Well, we had a call recently from our good friend Derek Mulrooney in the Druids Glen Golf Club in County Wicklow. I'm sure listeners will recall the Kingfisher Nest and how he placed a camera in it to give some fantastic insights as to what was going on deep inside the nest.
That was in 2006.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, Derek, the other Derek, not you, he has been monitoring a group of grey lag geese. Here in Ireland, we normally associate grey lag geese with the 2,000 or so birds that overwinter in Ireland. However, there is a number of Irish breeding or feral grey lag geese, and in recent years, this number appears to be rising. Grey lags are our largest native goose species and are identified by their grey plumage, orange beak, and pink legs. Derek has been monitoring one such group on the golf course, and he invited me down recently to join him.
Terry, how are you?
Great to see you in Druids Glen.
Derek, you're here ahead of me, and so is your family. I see them here in front of you in the water. There must be what? Well, there's 10 or 12 of them.
Oh, the grey lag geese, yes. Yeah. By now, I've been feeding them since November, so they've got to know me, and they've come back to where they were for a number of years.
Now, what you're doing here is you're actually feeding them. You've got some food here.
Oh, we got the grain. This is wheat.
Right, okay.
And
as soon as they hear that, listen to the sound of them, and they're coming into you here now.
My goodness, when I come down from the yard where I store the grain, and I walk down through the woods, I can be 300 yards at least away in the morning, and they start screaming and screeching, and they all fly up to the area where I feed them at the bridge here where the stream comes in.
Yes, the stream is beautiful. Where does that come from?
Kilquade.
Kilquade.
It's an old stream that comes down from Kilquade.
Now, you're throwing this in. I noticed you throw it into the water. Why is that rather than on the grass?
I do, Terry. The reason being that I'm always conscious of attracting rats.
Right.
And the thing you don't want to do is throw it on your grass, either in your garden or wherever you're feeding birds on a lake, because the rats will come around. Whereas if you throw it in the water, only the birds get it.
And I presume the geese, they feel more confident taking it from the water.
Yes, they feed, because what happens is some of it floats on top.
Yeah, well, I'm watching there, most of it's actually sinking.
Yeah, well, there's probably another reason why it's attractive too when it sinks, because when it soaks some water, it probably it's easier to digest, I would imagine.
Because they are herbivores.
Yes, and this is wheat as against barley.
Right.
The wheat is better than the barley because the barley has haws on it. And I'm told that it can get caught in their gullets.
Yeah.
But the wheat is clean and very attractive.
It looks lovely.
It looks lovely.
It's nice. Now, these are grey-lag geese. And I think people would associate grey-lag geese as the geese that come to Ireland. They migrate to Ireland for winter. But we also have Irish grey-lag geese. These are feral geese. And these are the ones that you have here.
Yes, they are. This family, as I said, they've been here for a number of years. And last summer, for whatever reason, they decided, I suppose, like a lot of families, to go down to the seaside. And they stayed down there. And I went down to visit them. And the funny thing was, when I went down to visit them by the sea, whether I was dreaming or not, but they seemed to recognise me and they started screaming. I suppose they thought I'd bought some grain with me, but I didn't, down to the seaside.
But it's well known that geese recognise people. That's why people use them for guard dogs, so to speak, guard geese.
Oh, they're great, because the noise they make.
You must have been impressed when you saw that they recognised you down at the beach.
I was. I mean, it's some satisfaction, because I'd spent a number of years here with the grey-lag geese, and then when they went away last summer, I was a bit disappointed, because I'd
been... Is that the first summer that they've gone away?
Yes, the first summer they went away. What had happened was that there was a pair broke away from the family, and they nested on another lake.
Here on the golf course?
On the golf course, yes. And the male didn't seem to play much part in the nest. And he paraded up and down all the time. He was like a sentry going up and down. The golfers, of course, got used to going up and down because it was near a green. But I continued during the summer when the female was nesting, because she came off the nest very little. And I knew where the nest was, so I put, there was near a lake, so I put some grain, wheat, in the lake just to keep her happy and keep her fed while she was on the lake. So anyway, the whole thing was very successful, and she produced the cygnets, and they brought the cygnets back to the family group. And then, for whatever reason, they took off down to the seaside. Maybe they wanted to bring the young ones down to the seaside for the summer, I don't know what it was, but that was it. So I said to the men here, the greenkeepers, who are very interested in the grey-lag geese, they're very popular. because they're very friendly, and when people come around, they recognize them and they don't fly away, and they're not aggressive.
Yeah.
They never go up and make noise at people, maybe like swans would do or anything like that.
But they produce an awful lot of poo, because we can see it all around us.
It's an organic poo, of course.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the benefit of the fertilizer is obviously recognized. And when they tea or the green, where there might be some feces, is cut, the machine spreads the poo, so it doesn't create a big problem. Now, if there was on a green near a hole or something like that, if there was some feces or poo, of course the greenkeepers would sweep it away. That's it.
Yeah.
It's not a problem.
Yeah. This goose, this grey-like goose, is believed to be the ancestor for all domesticated geese.
Well, that's news. I didn't know that, Terry.
They're a big goose too, aren't they?
They are. They're a big goose. Well, of course, I presume our ancestors ate them, did they?
Yeah, well, meat and eggs and feathers and goose grease.
Goose grease. Of course, goose grease was used in rural Ireland if you had a pain in your joints or something
that's
like
true.
That.
That's
yes.
true.
I never thought of that one, so there we are. But as you know, this is a sanctuary here, so we don't...
When you look at them too, like you see the name grey-like geese, you can understand why, because they're very, very grey. Grey is the dominant colour.
It is. When you look at them, it's very hard, of course, to distinguish the male from the female.
Yeah.
But I think the females have more white on them.
I think that too.
Yeah, and I noticed...
And looking at them here, there are some that have more white than others.
They have. And there's one fellow who's seems to be the leader of the pack, a dominant, and I'm sure he's a male.
Yeah.
And he's more brown.
Yeah, and he also is one that's pushing some of those ducks away all the time.
Oh, he does. He chases the ducks away. And the interesting thing is they have a conflict with the swans.
Mm.
And the swans are very territorial. But now what's happened is the greylags have seemed to take possession of the lake where we're feeding them here, and the swans are on the bottom lake.
Are they aggressive towards the swans?
They are, yes. The whole family kind of chase the swan away, whereas there are only two swans, a male and a female, and the male swan tends to be the one who tried to get possession of the lake. But the ducks are different. They seem to live very well with the mallard duck. But when the teal come in, the teal are very nervous. They come in a flock, and goodness, there could be 30 or 40 of them flying in. And they land and they try and feed, and the grey-like geese do chase them away.
Now, around November, the migratory grey-like geese come to Ireland. Do any of them come down here?
No.
They do go to the coast in County Wicklow.
They do on the coast here. Now, to be honest with you, I've seen more of them up in Sligo.
Yeah.
Than I have here.
But even if we stick with the coast here in County Wicklow, you're only, what, a couple of 100 metres? You're hardly a kilometre from the sea here, are you?
Well, I'd say a quarter of a mile less from the sea.
What's that, a couple of 100 metres?
Yes, down to the Kilcool.
Yeah.
And of course, as you know, there's a sanctuary down there.
That's right.
Beautiful
Birdwatch
sanctuary,
Ireland.
Birdwatch Ireland Sanctuary,
yeah.
With viewing facilities and everything. It's a wonderful place.
You're still feeding here all the time.
Ah, yeah. Well, I just throw it into the water, and you know, they like the wheat, and I suppose in a way it sort of lets them settle down as well. And
looking at them there now, because they're quite close, you see that distinctive or prominent orange bill.
Yes, they have that prominent orange bill. And last night on your programme on Mooney Goes Wild, they had a programme about that, and they were talking about knobs on the beaks or something like that.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how during the breeding season this becomes more
pronounced.
Yeah.
Mm. And you see it in swans, for instance.
Yes. Mm. The grey-legged geese seem to be very much a family group. And I don't know why more of them don't breed. Why only two out of a group of, say, 8 or 12 go off to nest? I don't know why that is.
Maybe the others are just not mature enough yet. Maybe they're still quite young.
Yeah, I don't know how old they have to be before they start breeding. How old? Have you any idea?
Well, I do know that when they form a partnership, it's a lifelong partnership. And one interesting study I remember reading was that these partnerships can be male-male and female-female relationships as well.
Yeah.
And that something like 10% or more than 10% of them can be male-male, and they behave exactly like a normal male-female relationship, except that they don't have the young. Incredible, isn't it?
Yes, it's very interesting.
That might be one of the reasons. They may be pairing off here, but they may be males.
Oh, right. Yes, yes, the whole thing is the more you watch them and the more you study them, the more you see, and you see little things which indicate to me. The one thing about them is that they certainly recognise people.
Yes, they recognise you.
They recognise me.
But that's why, of course, people have kept geese as kind of watchdogs, guard dogs, but really guard geese.
Yes, of course, round the old castles in Ireland, outside the moat, they had geese, didn't they?
Yeah.
And the geese would set off a noise when people came round. Yeah, this morning when I was walking down, of course, they started screeching because I had the white bucket and the
wheat
for them, you know?
Yeah.
And it's obviously an indication that they know they're going to get their meal of wheat.
Yeah.
But in the summer when I went down to the seaside just to see where they were, if they were down there, because somebody had told me they'd seen grey-like geese down there, I went down to the Birdwatch Ireland where they were. And when I went down there again, it was quite funny because I walked up and they started screeching. Now, whether they screech for everybody walking up or whether it was special for me, I'm not 100% certain.
Well, I'm sure it was for you.
Oh, I'm sure it was as well. I think it was.
And you weren't feeding them then?
No, I had no food with me. I didn't bring any food down in the summer. And then I said to the course superintendent here, I was saying to him, look, you know, we'll do our best in November and we'll start feeding and we'll see if they come back. And sure enough, I started feeding in November, but it wasn't until Christmas week that they came back.
Mm.
So the question, of course, I was talking to Derek Mooney, and I said to him, you know, it's very interesting. How in the name of goodness did they know I was feeding? And I think he had a discussion with Niall Hatch about it.
Yeah.
And Niall's view was that one or two fellas might have been flying over.
Yes. Because it's not far away.
Oh, no, it's only less than a quarter of a mile down to the Birdwatch Ireland site here in Kilcool. So we're very close. And the swans and the ducks and everything, of course, they move up and down from the two places because this is a sanctuary here and we have a number of lakes. So they're very happy here. So they come up. And the green grass, of course, the other thing that's interesting is the grey-like geese like green grass. And we've a lot of, there was a big development here and renovation and everything, and they planted a lot of new fresh grass, and I'm sure that they enjoy that.
Yeah, and it's fresh.
Yeah, and where I feed them here, there's a lot of green grass and there's a clear area because...
Well, where we are here, I should say, is we're beside one of the lakes where, as you said, that stream is coming into it. So predators can't get them.
Well, that's important. That's one of the reasons I feed them here, because exactly what you've said. Yeah, the interesting thing, Terry, I don't know how long this family are going to stay around here. How long did they live?
About 25 years.
25 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a long time.
They haven't been ringed, no?
No. I've, to be honest, last summer before they left, I remember looking because our swans are all ringed.
Yeah.
And no, there are no rings on the grey-like geese.
You have no intention of having them ringed, no?
No, no, we never thought of it. But there may be a group here in Ireland, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the grey-like geese are not ringed.
So we're coming out of winter now and heading into early spring and summer. What's the plan?
Oh, the plan for the geese is that the geese will stay down in this area and I will continue to feed them here. And I'm sure, just like last year, a pair, or maybe more than one pair, will break away from the family, a male and a female, and they'll go and nest. Now, what I'll do is, when they're nesting there, the male doesn't play very much part in this nesting. He just sentry, he marches up and down, and the female sits on the nest. So I'll put out grain in the water there for her when she comes off the nest, so she'll be happy and strong and able to look after the cygnets.
Well, looking at our family here now, they seem to have moved on. They're finished feed and they're swimming back out into the lake again.
Yeah, that's it, Terry. Now, it's great to see you down here. And we've fed the geese and everybody's happy. They're going off for a swim. A bit of exercise, I suppose, after their nice meal. And I only feed them once a day and I'll feed them again tomorrow. And that's the way we'll keep it going until we see the pairs breaking off to go and nest. And we've no idea how many will breed this year.
Thank you very much indeed, Derek Mulrooney and Terry Flanagan.